How you doing, Brandon, baby?
It's just Tolly.
Hey.
Before we get into what I wanted to get into,
sure.
Have you heard about this Wile E. Coyote versus Acme movie?
I thought I heard about the premise of this like forever ago, where it was like a Looney Tunes movie, but he gets talked into bringing suit against Acme.
Wile E. Coyote sues Acme because the products have been faulty. He hires a human lawyer to sue the company.
Apparently, yeah, Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey?
I have no fucking idea.
Well, I don't think he's in it. But John Cena is in this movie. So I'm assuming he's the head of Acme. Anyway.
I would hope that he's the lawyer.
I mean, I could go both ways. I want both things. I want to see both versions. Well, yeah. Because Warner Brothers is so good and can't do anything right, they shelved this movie to get a $30 million write-off. And
yeah, but they did this with the Batgirl movie too?
The Batgirl movie too, yep. And then proceeded to release the Flash movie, which lost so much money.
Yeah.
So it's clear they don't know what they're doing. Crew members had a bunch of behind the scenes footage and they leaked it. They had like sets that were crumbling and like cars that were smashed. Like the shit looked cool as shit. And everybody was excited about it. Warner Brothers sent cease and desist to take down the video. Agents have been, directors have been telling their agents to cancel meetings with Warner Brothers after this because the backlash was so bad and they're an untrustworthy studio because this is like the third or fourth project they've shelved that was complete. Like this movie is complete.
Yeah. Write-off is guaranteed money.
The write-off is guaranteed money, but because they were bullied so bad online, Warner Brothers said, okay, we fucked up. We'll let the producers shop this thing around. So
okay,
it might actually see the light of day.
I mean, that's neat. I wonder, honestly, like, I don't know how successful the last Space Jam movie was.
I think it bombed bad. Like,
I also, if memory served, there was supposed to be, I saw, I think, a preview or no, I'm sorry, it was a conversation with an interview with Tony Hawk, where apparently there was supposed to be another Space Jam movie, but it was going to be a skateboarding version with Tony Hawk basically being Michael Jordan. And they basically, like, they were talking about it. He had to go away to like a tournament or something. He had a meeting at LAX. Before he went out for a weekend. That weekend, Looney Tunes, the one with Brendan Fraser.
I don't remember.
It was like a whodunit kind of movie or whatever it is. Apparently came out.
I don't remember that. Yeah.
And then his agent basically got ghosted by Warner Brothers because they decided to walk away from the project. Looney Tunes is not nearly as popular as it once was. So
I'll agree with that. Yeah.
The idea of them really making bank on this one, it may be very fun, and it may be very clever, and it may be well-written, and honestly a good movie, for all I know. But I could absolutely understand from a business standpoint, this far removed from everything, because this movie was done, what, pre-COVID or something?
I don't know.
Or, like, during COVID or something?
I don't know when I've been trying to read up on it. It's unclear when it was finished, but it was
so
a couple years in the can.
Right. And this is what I'm wondering is, like, at that point, once you've had it in the can that long and you see the retrospect, especially of seeing the new Space Jam come out and it not do gangbusters, why wouldn't they shelve this?
Do you think that John Cena, is John Cena a bringer?
The question really comes down to, is this a John Cena film or is John Cena in it in the same way that The Rock was in the second G.I. Joe movie?
The way it's been written about, it sounds like it's like a John Cena thing. Like,
also, is it actually funny? Because John Cena's done a lot of really good stuff since then. And if it's just corny, like, there was that adorable Bull movie starring John Cena's voice.
Oh, That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we took Hazel to see that. That was awesome.
Right, like, that was a perfectly delightful kids movie.
Ferdinand.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
And, like, but John Cena didn't have the staying power, and I'd argue without actually seeing John Cena be John Cena, I don't know. I mean, John Cena is a different animal now than he was. But I have to believe that if Warner Brothers doesn't think this thing can make money with John Cena attached to it, they might be right.
I
don't like the idea of stifling anyone's art or shelving anyone's art after it's already been completed.
Right.
I get the argument of that's shitty to do.
I also
understand that it costs millions of dollars to promote a movie.
Right.
And
but
is the juice worth the squeeze?
I don't have faith in Warner Brothers management because they went ahead with that Flash movie.
Yeah, but they
even though everyone had told
management,
them
the Zack Snyder shit.
Right. Well,
they've always had terrible management. Like
that Zack Snyder movies made them money. Like the Superman movies made them money. Like Flash died on the vine.
Right.
Like it was terrible. It lost them more than they saved when they shut down Batgirl.
Right, but I get that, but I can also understand the idea of all of the other supporting cast in that one, and, you know, giving that a chance to go away. Like, the real question is going to be, does the new Aquaman fail?
That's a good question.
Because I think it will.
I think it's going to be bad. I'm
not even asking whether it's bad.
No. I think, like, money-wise, like, I don't think it's going to make its money.
I think Warner Brothers has done such a poor job of creating any sort of confidence in a superhero movie and also understanding how bad Marvel's did by comparison to what they expected it. Like, it only did something like, I think it was like 60% of what they expected it to do.
Well, you have to take into account the fact that the strike was still going on. Like leading up to it. So the actors had no way to promote it. And like, that's a big driver for these things. They do like the promo circuit. They show clips.
Sure.
They do all the bullshit that gets you excited about stuff.
Right. But there's no other superhero movie right now.
Right.
You've got the studio able to air commercial after commercial if they want to.
Yeah. I talked to some people who didn't even know that the Marvels came out, and these are people who are like kind of interested in comics, and I'm like, how the hell did you not know about this? And I guess Marvel didn't, or Disney didn't spend the money, you have to
bear in mind, there are some things that have really fallen by the wayside, like when Secret Invasion came out.
Oh yeah.
That bombed.
Because it wasn't good.
Right. There was also the issue with the AI art in the opening sequence and everything and all the backlash from that. But like,
yeah,
when Marvel releases good shit, case in point, season two of Loki.
Yep.
It gets attention.
Yeah.
So is this a problem of Marvel's not really being all that well pushed? Like, could that have added another 10 million? Maybe.
I think so.
I don't know.
It's fun. Like, we took Hazel and one of her friends to it. It's real fun. Like,
yeah.
It's been a while since you had just like a fun superhero movie.
Yeah, the comparison I've heard is to the first Iron Man.
Yeah. It has like a
it's a little world buildy. It's
poppy.
It's got good fun, good pacing. Nothing feels too sluggy.
It doesn't overstay its welcome. It doesn't feel slow. It's goes.
Yeah, you get done and you're like, yeah, I could do another one of those. That was good.
Yeah, Iman Vellani is adorable. Like, she just, every scene she's in, it's just like, oh my God! It's great. Not enough people are going to see it. And I think if the three of them were allowed to go on the tour circuit and do the press, like, we would have seen that connection between the three of them, and that would have gotten people excited. But instead, we've had months
I don't think so, of
people shitting on the studios and like talking about how greedy Disney is, how greedy Warner Brothers is, how greedy all of these studios are. And like,
I think anybody who sits on the fence about that movie will wait for it to come out on Disney Plus, case in point. I think given the current state of a lot of feedback on a lot of things, I think this is going to sound terrible to say because I fucking love Birds of Prey. a solely female led superhero movie is not going to grab the zeitgeist the way that we hoped it would.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think it does right now. And I think especially because Ms. Marvel never really seemed to connect with fans, I think, the way that they were hoping. Because Brie Berkley's character, I feel like never really, the argument I'm making is like, if you walk through a Target toy aisle, there was nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like it didn't have the same push as any Spider-Man movie, any Iron Man movie, any Thor movie.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like it did not have the push.
It does seem like Phase 4 has been kind of, or are we in Phase 5 now? I don't know.
Whatever
phase this has been very unfocused.
What other movies are part of this phase?
I have no idea.
This is the thing, is like, I don't even know where we are at this point.
I have no idea. Right. But whatever this is, it feels kind of like they're not sure what the fuck they're doing and
I think this really does come down to I don't think that the characters made enough of a connection with a wider fan base to draw people into the theater. Who was the villain? Who was the actor?
Oh gosh.
Okay, case in point, you don't even know. Like, it wasn't like Christian Bale in a bunch of makeup or whatever it is, like it was for the last Thor movie. We don't have a, I assume, big name drawn to the villain spot, because Marvel has traditionally had some kind of lame villains.
It's Zoe Ashton. I'm unfamiliar with her stuff.
Okay. Do you recognize her from anything else? Anything you can see on like IMDb?
No, I'm looking. I don't know any of her movies.
She was in
The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay, good. But like, now we're relying on a TV show of Ms. Marvel, which I think was designed and marketed more toward a younger audience, more specifically a younger female audience. So this way they had a relatable Marvel character, which, rad, good for them. Yeah. But that was not necessarily something that had grabbed me. And I liked Marvel, but like it never really excited me. I remember like I liked the cat more than I really liked a lot of the character, and like
the period piece
was kind of okay, and like I didn't end up walking away from that being like, I don't like any of those characters. I think I walked away from them going, yeah, okay, that was fine.
I think one of the problems is they haven't really established Captain Marvel as a character. Like, she shows up at the tail end of everything, Endgame, and then somehow
like the most undefeatable person.
Yeah,
but doesn't really show a whole lot of personality. And in a room with that cast, you have to have some personality.
And I think if they gave the character a little bit more breathing room, maybe other stuff, like this movie would be a lot more exciting.
Sure, yeah.
Because there, it feels like there's been no buildup. It's like Captain Marvel had her movie, and then she shows up like in a handful of spots, and then nothing.
And then nothing. And then all of a sudden, and this would be my argument, now all of a sudden she needs two whole-ass other heroes to get another movie over.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
That's a lot.
There could have, I feel like...
There were three Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
That didn't have anyone else involved.
Yeah. I feel like there could have been another one in between, because there's a lot of story that's missing, and there are a lot of questions that are missing. Like,
That's what I'm getting at, is I don't think we ever really had a chance to fall in love with Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
to then have her be a strong hand to push something along, because if you were going to introduce Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel needs to have the same gravitas in the Marvel universe among the fans that Tony Stark had when he brought in Peter and he's hanging out with Aunt May and everything else like that, where you're like, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it needs to feel that special.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't get to drag Ms. Marvel into the rest of the zeitgeist that way, because that's what it should be. Is Brie Berkley should be dragging them into everything
Brie Larson.
Yep. Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
But I think if there was like another film in between, or maybe like a miniseries or something to show Captain Marvel doing some more space.
Was Captain Marvel not involved in Secret Invasion or whatever it is?
No.
Okay.
No, and I thought
is that just a Nick Fury show?
It's just a Nick Fury show.
Yeesh.
And I was like, I was hoping she would show up at some point, because like part of the reason the show exists is because of her failure, her and Nick's failure. But all we see is Nick Fury. We don't see any Captain Marvel.
Right.
And it makes it implies that she's off doing other stuff. And then you watch this movie. They're on the chat line all the time. They're talking to each other on the phone. So it's like, stuff happened and we don't know what happened.
I'm just reminded of, like, it was a bit that was on like one of Patton Oswalt's first albums or whatever it is, where he used to do punch up for like animated movies, but all of the scenes would already be created. So we'd have to come up with jokes that would happen off camera that you could just do audio cues for. Like, yeah. Ho hum, I'm gonna disappear. Whoop, splat. Oh no, I fell in some butterscotch. Like the idea of they've got her on the horn, but she's just off fighting galactic shit. So you just hear, I assume, explosions or quippy dialogue or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We didn't get that in Secret Invasion.
Right. And Jesus.
Did you not watch it?
No.
I don't think you missed anything.
That's case in point, man. I haven't had anyone be like, yo, did you catch Secret Invasion? Like, no. And honestly, after finishing Loki the other day, the idea of going and watching a mediocre Marvel show,
yeah,
I need a break before I can be disappointed by Marvel again. I really do, because that set such a high bar.
There is one scene between Don Cheadle and Sam Jackson that is amazing.
It's the
best scene between these two characters. You can tell they're really into it. It happens in the first episode, and I'm like, all right, this is something. This is really good. And then the rest of the season, and it's just like, oh.
Is Don Cheadle in the rest of the season?
He's in it, but
not really. That's a shame. I fucking love me some Don Cheadle.
It's so uneven and it's disappointing. And I mean, I'm still watching the shit. So I'm the dumbass who keeps feeding them numbers and stuff. But like,
wait, hang on, is it not done?
Oh no, it's done. It's done.
Oh, okay. I was about
but
to
like,
say.
We still watch the shit. Like when it comes out, like we sit there and we watch it and we're like, do we like this? I don't know. Let's keep going.
I mean, I get that. I would probably watch it too if I wasn't catching up on like 14 other things, but case in point, we finished Loki and then we finished Shoresy, which is a hell of a lot of fun. If you have seen any of Letterkenny, Shoresy is an absolutely feel-good show and uses a ton of native actors in the show, which is really great. But then we started watching Narcos tonight because she had never seen Narcos.
Oh.
And sorry, kids.
That's great.
Younger Pedro Pascal for the fucking win. Yeah, we're going to watch that. And
that
like,
is excellent.
Right, and this is the thing, is there's so many,
but it's excellent.
We just got done the first episode, and she was like, fuck, can we watch more of this? It's like, yeah, hell yeah, we can watch more of this.
Narcos is excellent.
Right, but like, how am I supposed to willingly stop watching Narcos and then go watch fucking Secret Invasion and be excited or enthralled or drawn it? Like, it just, there's too much other really good shit out there for me to just phone it in that way. It's not going to happen.
If there's a little cut of somebody, if somebody took that one scene and put it up on YouTube, I'll send it to you. Cause that is, that is literally the best part of the entire, it's like, this is awesome because it works on so many levels. It's like a meta commentary about race and race relations.
And then
it also talks about like Skrull shit, which doesn't impact sure. anybody. Because okay, who but, cares? But this right. other level, that's the good shit.
Right. Yeah. And this is where my guilt came in when you were like, Don Cheadle's in a tune. I was like, fuck, am I missing some of the best African-American actors in the Marvel universe all pandering back and forth with each other? Because I was like,
this one scene you are, but
where, yeah. Right. And this is the thing. Right. Maybe I just need to go in, watch the one episode, abandon it, and let them see that outlier and be like, what the fuck happened yeah. after the first episode that he wasn't like, yeah, how about some more of this?
I think it's the first episode or the second episode. I don't remember, but it's early. So like,
I'll find out. I'll Google yeah. just that one episode and just go in on that one. I'll be yeah. the one guy who watches like episode 3 yeah. for like 26 minutes. And be like, that felt very specific.
Yeah. But anyway, to get back to your point, I do agree that I don't think the Looney Tunes has the pull that they did, like, 90s, mid-90s, yes.
If that
early 2000s,
out,
yes.
Yeah, I, this is the thing, is that movie needed to come out in 2008 with a completely different actor other than John Cena.
Yeah, at the very latest.
And, like, that could have definitely had a very fun thing to go along with it, because it could have been the very classic version of, like, the classic animated mixed with the live action.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, yeah.
we would all have been very comfortable with that. I'd be like, oh! This is very cool. And we could have had, I don't know, Tim Curry or something like that, being the head of the Acme Corp, because honestly, having
Tim Curry.
Right, it would just, be so just good. Having him read the lawsuit, close the thing up and go, and then right, yeah, and then just fuck off into the distance. Like,
catch me a saw. Just
right.
Saws Florida off the
yeah, like I think that could have worked, but yeah, now I understand the frustration that you have with that, and I don't disagree with your sentiment. I think that one specific movie is maybe not the one to hang your hat on, but it does speak to a bigger problem of a lot of people. Like, the only thing that I feel at least relatively comfortable about is, if I had to take a guess, other than if somebody has a sweetheart deal about residuals or anything else like that, everybody got paid.
I don't know.
I assume all of the animators got paid for a complete product and everything else like that, because I assume you got paid upon completion of the film, not however much you made after the
yeah,
fact. But I don't know.
I hope so, because the sets right. that they built looked amazing, like the ones that they blew up and all this stuff, like all that practical yeah, shit. We don't do that anymore. And to see
I assume the people who ended up getting stuck were probably, unfortunately, maybe some of the bigger name voice actors who might have a residuals deal. John Cena, who probably had a residuals deal, and the studio execs themselves and the studio itself that would make money after the fact on everything. And then maybe anyone who got licensing on toys or something like that, that could have been coming out after the fact. But
yeah,
it, like, don't get me wrong. People definitely got financially hit by this. But I don't know.
We might see it. It might come to, like,
yeah, who knows?
It might come to Netflix like next month or something.
Yeah, they'll do some sort of
it
video
might be like
on
a
demand
Christmas
thing
movie or some shit.
Yeah, somebody will get desperate and decide to pick it up or whatever it is, and it'll yeah. be on like Freevee or something like that. So everybody will have to watch the ads to go along with it.
It would be so funny if it does get released in theaters, and just to like troll Warner Brothers, everybody goes and makes this.
No,
like,
because they still get paid if we go. It's not trolling them if you give them money.
That's true. No, yeah, that's true.
It's not trolling them. There's no way for us to ironically see them. Like, we don't get to be like hipster Looney Tunes Serpico, where we get to like get on the inside and screw the man one way. Like, it's not how that works.
Are there any cartoons that would like that are big now? Like that would like people would lose their shit. Like, if they made a Silverhawks anything, no one would care. But me,
yeah.
I would go to see it.
I would care. I don't know if I'd go to see it in theaters, because I don't think it could get a wider theatrical release.
No, but if they did like a Phantom Events,
yeah,
a Fathom
yeah.
Events thing, and
yeah,
I,
like
I
Fathom Events, I could totally see that.
Mask, I don't think anyone gives a shit about
any
Mask.
Any of your 80s things are not going to make it. I would argue you could potentially get, because 90s kids who watched a lot of the like Ed and Eddie and Two Angry Beavers
yeah.
and
yeah,
all the
yeah,
other
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that stuff.
In theory, I think we could get like a Maybe at Dexter's lab?
Yeah, Dexter's. I was just thinking about that.
Some sort of like Dexter travels. Actually, you know what could actually get Samurai Jack?
Oh, shit.
Samurai Jack, I think, has enough of a pull from your generation, my generation, my wife's generation, like that.
Oh,
that,
shit.
That's got a 30-year pull.
Yeah, it does.
And if done properly, could be fucking rad. Like, yeah. I was honestly surprised for the longest time they didn't do a live-action Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't. Like, I just assumed that like that would have been a fucking taste. Cool story. Huh?
Taste. They're like, this is good. This is great. We don't have to fuck it up. We don't have the will to fuck it up with
No, I just assumed that they couldn't figure out how to land like Owen Wilson as Jack. Is like it's just they don't know how to cast an Asian lead in that thing. Because they'd also be very confused by meeting Phil Lamar and realizing that he voiced Jack.
Yeah. They'd be like, wait a second.
hang on a second.
What about Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends?
The fact that you have to think about it means it's a no.
Was that big
Foster,
enough?
Foster's got very popular. Like I'd argue,
I think
the best example of this was like SpongeBob, and SpongeBob was fucking huge, and the theatrical releases still weren't all that fucking amazing.
Yeah, didn't they just recently do like a CG version?
I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought it did okay, if memory serves, but also I don't think they set the bar very high for that, because that's the sort of thing Nickelodeon can replay on a Saturday for years to come. Yeah, yeah. They're going to get their fucking money out of that one way or the other.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. Well,
yeah, but also I don't think, like, you should understand cartoons of this generation way better than I should. I should not understand what is popular among 9-year-old kids. I shouldn't. That's the sort of thing that gets me on a watch list.
When the Bluey movie comes out.
You will
see a billion-dollar movie.
Yes. Yeah,
you will see a G-rated billion-dollar 60-minute movie.
Case in point, the fucking the Paw Patrol movie.
Oh, yeah, that came out.
Right. The fact that, that came out.
No one gave a shit, let's say.
Hang on.
Paw Patrol.
We didn't give a shit.
Actually, I asked many children's of many various ages around, because when I saw the trailer for that thing, I was like, holy shit. They got new powers. Humperdinger is a giant walking through the city, which means new powers. At some point, the Paw Patrol will form a Paw Patrol Zord to fight Humperdinger. This is Super Sentai as fuck.
And I know. That's why you're excited. Yeah.
And then I asked all the kids around, are like, are you excited about this movie? And they were like,
no.
We don't watch Paw Patrol. What are you talking about, old man?
Right. Right.
Like, yeah. Paw Patrol hit, and then, boom.
It's gone.
But Bluey.
Bluey's a new hotness.
Bluey, if they turn that into a movie, it would be 60 minutes. It would be 60 minutes, and you would see a billion-dollar movie.
See,
it would make $1 billion opening weekend.
Yeah, the only way that you're going to end up having a crossover nostalgia thing, Jamie, I think, is if you get something that is a topic that is G-rated enough that it hits everybody, that it's generational enough that everyone will drag everyone else to the thing. Like, honestly, if you did a weird, like, do a version of a Holmes story, but set Blue's Clues on it.
Oh, yeah.
All of the guys have to then help Blue through, like, the, ironically, the Hound of Baskerville or something like that, where just...
Ooh, that would be great.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
that'd be amazing.
Right. And we could do a very fun thing of, like, you literally set it in England, and then we have, like, Benedict Cumberbatch and Ricky Gervais and all the other ones, like... Yeah. That could be a fun thing. I don't think it's a $1 billion movie or anything else like that, but
yeah.
I don't know, you could probably make 25 mil on something like that.
What about the snorks? Do people remember the snorks?
No. Oh, I remember the snorks.
Do people care they about were the under snorks?
Huh?
Do people care about the snorks?
No! People didn't care about the snorks when the snorks were a thing.
No.
You know, want to know how I know? Because I was of the right age, and the toys, you want to know what the toys were? They were just vacuum molded and painted. You couldn't do anything with them. Yeah, no. And like, they were technically bath toys because they had no thing to get water into. But like, other than remembering that like, the Snorks were underwater and they could do things with the blowhole thing, but like, not really anything impressive. I seem to remember, I think it was a jellyfish was the main guy's dog, and I think that was fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
man.
Really,
yeah.
Other than that, like,
God,
the Snorks sucked. Just like the Smurfs suck.
The Smurfs, they had a couple of movies, and they did okay to make sequels,
sure,
but I don't
but
think they...
Sure, but the Smurfs
suck
in general.
Yeah,
the only reason the Smurfs took off is because people had a lack of options. When you only had three channels, you only had a lack of options, therefore you're forced to love a subpar product. Like, the only... You can tell the difference because the Snorks didn't get a whole bunch of movies, and Scooby-Doo did.
Yeah.
Good products rise to the top. The cream rises to the top, 1,000,000%.
I think there was a Scooby-Doo project that got shelved.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. I mean, they recently did that other animated one, and that was apparently pretty okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of... My tastes are so whack, I can't think of a good animated thing that would
good.
Catch fire.
We're the wrong audience.
Yeah.
We're the wrong audience. That's how that should work, Jamie.
Yeah.
That means the world of animation is doing its part.
Yeah.
Because I should briefly recognize something in passing and be like, huh, that looks neat. And then go, but that's not for me. And then I move on.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
okay. And if I see a bunch of kids wearing merch with the fucking logo or the characters on it, or I hear them talking about it, great. Great. Go and enjoy the fucking thing that you go and enjoy. Like, no one of my age when I was Hazel's age should know about the Snorks the way I know to come along with the Snorks. Live along with the Snorks.
Oh, Gummy Bears.
Gummy Bears was fucking rad.
Gummy Bears.
That's a weird, like, I swear to God, I think that show only lasted like 2 seasons.
I think we have
such a nostalgic love.
I feel
for
like
those
that was
Disney
like a
20
shows. Season show, but you're
no,
right.
No,
you're
I think
right.
It was, right, because it was like the Disney's The Gummy Bears, Tailspin.
Tailspin
had one of the greatest fucking entrance songs in all of Disney Afternoon cartoons. Let's see what else. Freakazoid. Bonkers, which is like that one character that got completely thrown by the wayside that I used to fucking love.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Darkwing Duck, which honestly, that's one that should get a reboot.
Darkwing, and in that same vein, I think it's about time we get some more gargoyles. Because
Heard apparently they're talking about doing a live action gargoyles.
Because gargoyles hits. I think gargoyles hits like a very wide enough nerd.
I think
like Zara loves gargoyles.
Right, but Zero was also of the age when Gargoyles was on in the afternoon.
Yeah,
when she got home from school.
Yeah, and I think Gargoyles could get a wide audience, like not the neckbeard audience, but like a wider nerd audience.
I'm unclear because you have to make a decision about how fuckable you want to make the Gargoyles.
Yeah.
Because
exactly,
that was the bestiality overtone like that was happening in that show.
Oh, yeah.
Was fucking real. Like, no. there's a handful of shows that I'm like, oh, that definitely created a kink for somebody. Like, like 100%. And I say this with the utmost respect and love. Without Gargoyles, I'm pretty sure the furry community would lose 20% of its audience.
But if you cater to that audience, they have money, they will pay.
I'm not arguing that at all. The question is do you do an animated series and do it over again and reboot the whole thing? And the problem is the way that they do the animation now, we don't get our classic style animation, so we're going to rebel against it. Or do you do a live action one and then we create a whole litany of problems?
Yeah,
because
that's a good question.
The story takes a lot of time to properly build. Because if you're going to actually do it, you need to show essentially the first 6 episodes of Gargoyles.
Yeah.
And then we need to make Xanatos a bad guy. So yeah. Then we have to figure out who's going to be our Xanatos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's going to, we're going to have to basically parallel him to Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
So he's going to lose that dope ass bony tail.
Frakes is a little old.
Right, right. I mean, I'm here for it for the voice.
He's
like,
got
honestly,
the voice. He's got the voice
if,
still.
If you want to make Franks Owen and make him his right hand,
yeah.
I'm super down with that.
Michael Dorn still has the voice, man.
Right. Honestly, like, if we want to make Riker and Data just Xanatos and Owen, I'm super good with all of this.
I think Gargoyles could be it because, and I think you're right about animation. I think live action might be the way to go. And
I think it would have to be.
It would have to be. And if I am unfamiliar with One Piece, I don't know much about the manga. I haven't watched any of the movies except the one time I went with Alex to see a movie and I was like, I don't know what I'm watching. This is bonkers, but it's amazing. The live action version of One Piece was really good. I thought it was like a good translation.
Yeah, like, I have heard this and I have also spoken to Alex about this and asked him like, hey, is it relatively true to the storyline? Am I basically watching a bastardized version, or does it get the seal of approval of like, hey, you're going to watch this and you're going to be like, yes, I'd like some more of this. Or you're going to watch and be like, that was perfectly fine. I'm good. And yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
But he was like, yeah, it is a perfectly serviceable and well done piece that gives a real idea about the world and everything else. Like, I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. So like, that is definitely on my list to watch at some point, but
yeah. And I think if they're able to do something like that with Gargoyles, where it's true to the spirit of the show, but changes just enough because it's a different medium and you need to cut some stuff and you need
I think you're going to have to figure out what you cut, because there is an entire gap in between that knows nothing about Gargoyles.
Yeah.
And you're going to need to sell us, like people essentially out of the demo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we're losing the 18 to 35 demo on this. You're gonna have to sell everyone below 25.
Yeah.
On Gargoyles.
That's
full stop.
That's why you make them super fuckable. Like, you gotta make like
just
Goliath.
The most. Well, Goliath is gonna be fuckable because here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Come on.
Here's the important thing that you do is no matter who plays him, Keith David still does the voice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, like, my God. Oh,
that,
my God.
That has to be the rule.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. 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 The only other thing that I'm thinking of is Robert Loggia still alive or is he fucking dead?
I don't know.
Robert Loggia, he died in 2015. Oh. I was going to say, if he could play the most Italian version of Hudson, the old man, as yes. humanly possible.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just not even pretending to have a Scottish accent. Just old and grumpy.
Oh,
and the problem
God.
Is, there's no one like really old and grumpy. Like, everyone ages so well now.
Yeah.
Like, I need like an older whiskey soaked angry actor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what it's gonna have to be is like the guy who played Mike Ehrmantraut as like Hudson.
Yeah.
Because I need somebody who can kind of deadpan and look just physically imposing enough, like. A lot of shoulders and traps, but probably a nice solid beer gut. Like,
this is
the problem is like David Harbour would be great, but somebody's going to cast David Harbour as Goliath, not as Hudson. And that's the wrong pull.
Yeah. Yeah. Man.
Yeah. Cause also, who do you get to play Goliath? Cause you're going to have to change that hairline. That spiky front hairline. Like, cause immediately my brain went, it's gotta be Momoa. And then I'm like, well, no, Momoa's too charming.
Oh, wow.
Momoa's way too charming to be Goliath because you have to play a fish out of water. Now hear me out on this one. Dave Bautista.
Oh,
Batista's got the build.
He's got the build.
He's got the acting chops.
Yeah.
He can play fish out of water really well. We've proven this with Drax.
Oh, yeah.
He can play really passionate because he was in that real sweet, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie where like the little girl figures out he's a spy or whatever. Is it I Spy?
Yeah.
Like, we're like, he's absolutely adorable in that.
Yeah.
Like, because that's the he's modern got that day
energy.
Version.
He's got that energy.
He's got that like that strong leadership driven energy where he seems a bit older than what he really is, or more importantly, yeah. He seems a bit younger than he actually is.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's about that right age. He's got about that bright build. I think you put him in a giant fucking set of stilts with the makeup and everything else like that, with the wings folded over.
Oh yeah.
And like it could work.
He's got it, because like he's got that I will kill you energy, but also I will protect you.
Right, and he has no problem wandering around in his underpants all day long camera.
All day.
Right, right. Right. Honestly, the ability to see them do, and here's got to be my big push, is practical effects with the wings.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
It's got to splay out.
Yeah.
So this way, we can have an image of him doing the gun entrance with the wings in the background. Just, right, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I want this. This is what I want. This is what I want. I'm in for it. I'm in for it.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a couple other big name actors or something like that, but like I would love to see something fun like that. I'm curious who you use, who the younger actors would be for something like that. I'm now blowing the budget way out of hand by like making like Hiddleston Brooklyn.
Oh, that would be great.
Because he's just old enough that he's starting to get that kind of cocky thing or whatever it is.
I like that.
But like, they're going to have to do a full redesign because they're not going to put him in a giant beak.
No,
he's too good looking.
Yeah, I think you go for the spirit of the designs. There's ways to do it.
There's ways to do that, right? Yeah, you more or less kind of color match them a bit.
Yeah.
And I think if you get the feet right with the stilts and everything else like that to give them the height, you get the color right, and then you get the wing layout proper among all of them, I think you'd be good. And the only question I have, again, is like, who do you cast as my favorite Hudson?
Yeah.
Because that's all I want to know is who do you get that? Oh, my God.
So do you remember the old dwarf in the Hobbit movies, not the main guy, but like the older guy who was like the storyteller. I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
But that guy has that kind of like old man gravitas kind of.
Nope. I solved it. It's Brian Cox.
Yeah.
It's Brian Cox.
Yeah.
Like, you have him have a stunt double, but he does all the voice stuff. You literally, because he is that character. He's angry. He's a little pudgy. Yeah. He's Scottish. He has a fuck around and find out kind of attitude all the time. Like,
I like
seeing
that.
Him, like, the gargoyles go out to go do a thing. They get distracted by the robot. Xanatos comes in, tells him he's going to end up getting, you know, taking over the castle. And Brian Cox, squinting down, eyes light up white. The dog starts to growl. Brooklyn starts to growl on the side. He grabs the sword and goes, "Come on, then."
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck yes.
Dude.
Fuck yes.
Oh, my God. Just chills. Just
fuck
like,
yes.
Just chill. Just see you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, we can. The only thing I'm a little afraid of is the kind of heavy one.
Broadway.
Brooklyn? Broadway, thank
Broadway.
You. They're gonna cast Seth Rogen as that, and it's gonna take away from everything.
Like, yeah.
I need a pudgier, funnier actor. A Zach Galifianakis feels like a bit much.
Did you watch Our Flag Means Death?
I have seen it like from the side. I did not watch all the way through it. That's one of those like that's a Nicole show, as she loves the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Talking about the main, not the main, the, which actor are you talking about?
The guy with the white beard and the spikes all over his jacket and the, I think his name is Claw in the show.
Not Hodor, right?
Not Hodor, but like
okay.
One of
the Hodor could be good.
Hodor would be good, but I think the New Zealand guy with the headband and like the
yeah, I get you.
The guy who takes him fishing, that guy would be a good Broadway.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I think Tom Holland is Lexington. He's got that little small baby face.
Yeah, but he's too damn cute for something like
I know,
that. Like,
because
I don't think he wants to be cast as another young actor.
I know.
Like that.
I hate to say it, but he just looks so cute.
He does. I like. Do you do an all CG version of Lexington and have some other actor play him or something like that?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think this is also an opportunity for a lot of unknowns to come in and
do
the thing.
But like, I'm not saying I wouldn't accept Mark Wahlberg as Lexington. Just an all CG, just except for the face work.
How you doing? All right, Brandon. Well,
yeah, I solved it.
Tell the people who we are.
Hi. My name's Brandon Chalmers. That's Jamie Noguchi. We're part of the fucking Duocast, part of the Hard Knock Media Podcasting Network. Now, I know what you're thinking. We rambled on about gargoyles and everything else like that, and you're like, boy, howdy, that was some entertaining shit, boys. Well done. Well, lucky for you, you can find us, all of our previous episodes, and all of our friends at Hard Knock Media. That's right. Or the fucking Duocast.com. Now, Jamie, what's the email address that they can shoot us questions about gargoyle-related things or gargoyle-related things?
info@fuckingdoitcast.com. That's fucking F-U-C-K-I-N doit.com.
Well, kids, it's been fun. And by fun, I mean not really. And by not really, I mean not at all. But we just rambled on like those comedians that we fucking hated from the early 2000s and basically did a Dane Cook bit about how, hey, you remember this thing? That's fun, right? So, you know, I guess, Sufi, I'm going to go launch a cashew off my cock and have yourselves a wonderful week. Jamie, where can they find you?
Instagram, all those other places.
Yep.
Brandon,
yep. Just type in Jamie Noguchi. Yeah, yeah. You don't want to find me. Fuck off. Go be excellent to each other. Go eat a sandwich or something like that. That's how you honor me.
Huzzah!